We're driven by the search for better. But when it comes to hiring, the best way to search for a candidate isn't to search at all. Don't search, match with Indeed. Indeed is your matching and hiring platform with over 350 million global monthly visitors, according to Indeed data, and a matching engine that helps you find quality candidates fast. Ditch the busy work. Use Indeed for scheduling, screening, and messaging so you can connect with candidates faster. Leveraging over 140 million qualifications and preferences every day, Indeed's matching engine is constantly learning from your preferences. So the more you use Indeed, the better it gets. Join more than 3.5 million businesses worldwide that use Indeed to hire great talent fast. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/Blue Wire. Just go to Indeed.com/Blue Wire right now and support our show by saying that you heard about Indeed on this podcast. That's Indeed.com/Blue Wire. Terms and conditions apply. Need to hire? You need Indeed.
In the fourth quarter, you fought your way back in the last 30 seconds of this thing. What was the difference not being able to make that full comeback?
And they played really well. I thought it was, a hard-fought game, but, our defense obviously wasn't good enough, So, I thought we fought back several times. We had the lead there for a while, but we couldn't hold on to it. And then, free throws hurt us, fouls hurt us, turnovers hurt us.
You mentioned your defense. Miami was 6 for 7 from three in that fourth quarter there. Yeah. What was the issue?
Well, I think the big thing is, they're going to put a lot of pressure on you. I thought Jimmy Butler and Kyle, they spread you out, and then you got Hero, and you got Martin cutting, and Bam is, he's going to make you pay for, with his rebounding, and then he can initiate as well. So you get spread out, and you got to fly around, and you got to contain dribble penetration. You got to finish your defense. So I thought the rebounding was good, but they got rhythm early. Butler getting 14 free throws, that's a problem. That's a problem.
Jesse, what's going on, Jesse? I'm frightened of falling to play in for the simple fact that any team could have an outstanding shooting night like Minnesota. Season could be over in a heartbeat. Oh, my God. I mean, you want to talk about nightmare scenarios? I just saw before that the Hawks, poor Hawks, such a shame. You hate to see it. You hate to see it. They lost on some Karl Anthony Towns free throws. It's just such a shame. Such a shame. But anyway, the Hawks, who I hate, from the city of Atlanta, which I don't care for, they are in eighth, a game ahead of Toronto, who is only a half game ahead of Chicago. So Toronto and Chicago are coming. All that being said, the notion of playing, of falling to the play-in would be, to be very clear, an unmitigated disaster for this team, because it would involve, in all likelihood, losing twice to the Heat down the stretch, losing at least one, if not more, games that you are quote unquote supposed to win. And it would involve the narrative of, like, not only the Heat passed you, but the Nets passed you after they traded their star players. And then if you ever lost that playing game, oh my God. Whether it's to, Atlanta would be the worst, but like, it really wouldn't even matter. And then if you fell, even if you fell down to eighth and then like you won the second playing game and you like, it would be a disaster. That's what they have to avoid. Hey, Shane, what's going on, Asian Ferg? Defensive scheme isn't the problem. I agree. We're not executing. I agree. Jalen, I always agree with you, Haitian. Jalen being out and back may have ruined the defensive chemistry. Luckily, we have off days coming up to fix this with practice. We have to get right on defense. I'm thinking more about what Alex said before about Brunson maybe not being right. Defensively, is he favoring something? Is that why he's not his full self? I don't know. Because when the point of attack is so weak, which it is weak right now, everything else is a trickle down effect. And I understand other guys aren't as locked in. Not locked in is the wrong word. As crisp as they need to be, but and like Mitch, that is part of that too. Like they depend on him to be great so much. Hartenstein too, even in his minutes. So yeah, it's they got to clean it up. Thanks, Haitian. Todd, RJ also kicking out much more. Guys don't hit a lot. Yeah, Todd, I thought RJ's passing was maybe even better than his shot making tonight. His passing's been really great for a while now. It's probably the most encouraging thing because the thing that bothered me the most for most of the season was taking shots when the pass was obviously there. And he's not doing that anymore. He's making the obvious pass. And if he's going to do that, I you know, the defense is good enough. He's giving you everything you want right now. And yes, guys missed some passes off. So we should have had more assists. Kevin Danishevsky, tonight feels like a night we could have used a jumbo wing. And again, I think that gets back to a lot of people's comments on RJ. Like, you have a jumbo wing. His name is RJ Barrett. Run the offense more through him. But I think it's more defensively, right? And for as much as RJ's defense has improved, I still don't think defensively he is at the point where it's like, you're not, like, you don't feel comfortable putting him on a Jimmy Butler. And honestly, I'm not sure that you should. Like, RJ kind of lacks that physicality on defense. Like, the possession that I think Benji was referencing, it's the one that sticks out in my mind where, like, and Breen, it said on the broadcast, like, RJ played good defense, but, you know, Butler just made a better shot, like, where RJ kind of went straight up. Like, again, I use this term a lot with RJ on defense. Like, Jimmy, he did not make Jimmy Butler feel him on defense there, whereas during that stretch was late in the third quarter. Yeah, it was after the Randall Tech. So it was 88-77. And then there were at least two, and I want to say three possessions over that next several minute stretch where Jimmy Butler got the ball, and my God, did they bring... They brought everything. And they were like, it was selective doubling and like just physicality. They brought physicality. And they got in his shit and he missed a bunch of shots and it helped him get back in the game. Like RJ's, it's tough for him to do that, you know? So like you're wrong. You're not wrong. It's tough. But RJ was really good tonight. Austin Z, what's going on, Austin? What I'm loving most about RJ's play recently is the maturity he's showing with his approach. Completely agree. Picking apart defenses deliberately instead of just barreling in. Yes, 100% yes. And I think this is why more than like, there are some, I'm not naming any names. There are some RJ supporters out there who will like go and try to like concoct fake stats to prove to you like why RJ is playing well when he's clearly not playing well. I don't care about those people. The people that I care about and that I listen to are people like Mensa. You know, who are like, look, I'm not going to sit here and be like, RJ Barrett's been good this year, but you don't talk even about trading a guy who has shown you what he has shown you and who has grown in the ways he has grown. And like, you don't give up on that. And I think what we're seeing now from RJ, this improved play, is why people like Mensa are so spot on with this stuff, where it's like, again, I know it's frustrating. I know it's his fourth year. I know the team is ready to win now. When he doesn't play and he hasn't played well this year, it has stuck out because the rest of the team has played so well around him. But like since the All-Star break, he's had one bad half, really. First half against the Clippers. That's it. The rest of his play has been really great, or at least good. So yeah, completely agree. I agree. It's maturity and. We're seeing more growth right before our eyes. Duran visual variant. What's going on, Duran? I think coaches are more likely to challenge plays that take or put points on the board, not save the possession. And tell you what, put Jimmy Buckets on our roster and we're a title contender this year. Well, yes, I agree with you on the challenge thing, which I think is why some people wanted him to challenge the Hartenstein offensive foul, which again, the pushback is, would it really have been overturned? I don't think it would have been. as far as putting Jimmy on this team, I mean, I just got done praising RJ Barrett for a great game, and he did have a great game, and he's been playing really well for weeks. And I just was like, this is why you don't trade him. All that said, just in a vacuum, if you put Jimmy Butler on this team, are they a championship contender? Fuck yes. Oh my God, are they ever. Kevin Danishevsky, my one criticism of Tibbs is that he always closes with Hart. If you do that, he should start because 2 18-minute stretches must be tiring for an energy guy. It isn't that he always closes with Hart. It's that if you do that, he should start. Yeah, I don't think he should start for Grimes, and he's not starting for RJ. I get it. I mean, maybe there's... But that really kind of requires you... Well, I mean, he didn't close the first half with him tonight, for what it's worth. So, I don't know. Do you get the sense that Hart ever gets tired? I don't know. I don't really get that sense. It's fair, though. And he might be starting next year. Remember, this is not the year. Next year's the year. Ed Paola. Notice Mike Breen saying he heard from an assistant coach that they heard from assistant coaches that they love Deuce. I love to hear that. Yes, I paid attention to that. I paid attention to that when I heard it. And great job by you pointing that out. It's another reason why. Again, this is a guy that is under contract next year for no money. No money. If they make a trade that's a consolidation trade and Deuce gets in the rotation, that's a good thing. All right. Thanks, Ed. All right. Busy. All right. Here we go. I know it's coming. We can point out all the reasons why we lost, but when Andrew points out a mistake from Tibbs on questionable substitutions, blasphemy. If I can give Tibbs flowers, J-Mac, you got to start giving blame. Blam is not a word. Blame. Yeah, I mean, look, when you lose a game, everyone is responsible. Players are responsible. The coach is responsible. What I try to do on here is offer the other side of the coin, because as I've told you, Busy, many times, I feel like the pushback, and it's not unique to the Knicks, and this is why it's become kind of a fun parlor game for Andrew every time he does one of these pregame pods to talk to the opposing the guest about the opposing coach and how the opposing fan base views the opposing coach. And so far we are like 14 for 15 or something, where the guest is like, yeah, there's a pretty big segment of the fan base that doesn't like this coach, with the one exception being Mike Brown with the Kings. Everybody does this. And if I was doing, you know, Heat film school or Celtics film school Sixers film school, pick any team, I'd have the same attitude, which is like, in general, I think too much of the blame goes towards this. It doesn't mean you can't blame the coach. It doesn't mean you can't point out things that went wrong. It doesn't mean you can't say that the substitution didn't work. I'm not disagreeing with any of that. I'm my role on here, as far as I see it, is just to kind of be balanced. And by definition, I feel like, again, it's not unique to the Knicks fans. It's everywhere. The balance is a little out of whack sometimes in terms of the blame. That's all. Frank Miranda. What's up, Mac? It's your boy Frank from Patreon. Thoughts on Windhorst putting out that the Knicks have enough assets to trade for two stars? I don't think he's pulling that out of his rear end. Thoughts? I saw that. I didn't actually get a chance to listen to the pod yet, but I read the exact quotes. I was actually going to write about this for next week, but I'll say a few words now. Windhorst is never a guy who pulls anything out of his rear end. That said, and by the way, he's a guy that, and all of these big time reporters, and he's a reporter, which is why, like, please draw a distinction between a guy like Brian Windhorst and a guy like Stephen A. Smith or Skip Bayless, or like, I don't know who else like comments on the NBA. But like Windhorst is a reporter and he talks to executives constantly. So like, I don't think he's like reporting that like the Knicks are going to trade for two stars this summer or whatever. But from, you know, the people that he talks to around the league, I think there's clearly speculation like, man, the Knicks are set up to make two big moves. Will they? It depends on the marketplace. It depends who becomes available. It becomes, you know, that's we don't know those answers yet. From a logistical point of view, can they trade for two stars? Absolutely. Are they trading for like Joel Embiid and Luka Doncic? No, they don't have that asset base. And, you know, and again, Windhorst's premise was like they could keep Randall and Brunson and trade for two stars. But like, depending on who the stars are, like, can they cobble together the salary? Absolutely, they could cobble together the salary. Do they have enough by way of total first round picks and young players that if they really wanted to put it all on the table, could they? Yeah, absolutely. Do I think that's necessarily a good idea? Probably not. And again, we could talk about 100 different trade scenarios and I could give you 100 different answers, but the notion of like ransacking this team's depth is not something I'm a fan of. I think there's probably a one trade maybe that makes more sense to me. And then a second, depending on what the second is, but I don't know. Thanks, Frank. Busy with another one. PS, I need the RJ type energy when you start blaming Tibbs, J-Mac. Thanks. Tibbs has been really, really good for this year. He won the coach of the year 2 years ago and he had a poor year last year. Last year, I criticized him a lot. And I praised RJ a lot because RJ was really good last year. This year, RJ has not been good by and large. And Tibbs has been very good. So I'm not going to bring the same energy because, again, in addition to trying to be balanced on these things, I try to take the whole picture into perspective. And one of the things I'm very proud of, and obviously if people disagree, they, you know, a lot of content options out there. One of the things I'm very proud of is to try to keep things in perspective and to try to consider the whole. So I am going to always be more measured in praise of people who have not been good. And I'm always going to be more measured in my blame of people who I think have been good. That said, RJ, amazing night tonight. Awesome night. Best player of the game. One of his best games of the season. Thibodeau, I think he did some good things tonight in terms of countering Miami's zone. Offensively, again, they scored 120 points. Tough to fault that. Defensively, like, is that on Tibbs? I don't know. Again, we're quibbling with the substitution. We're quibbling with like foul reviews. Not the sort of stuff that I get worked up over. So, you know, that's just me. And then we got Jay. Bad coaching last two games. He will get out coaching the playoffs. What's his career playoff record? Again, you and I know the coach will not deliver. Well, I don't know that. I know that. I don't know that because, this coach has never lost a playoff series that he's been favored in until, granted, the Heat, the Hawks series. Every year with the, I don't know why people get on his coaching resume with the Bulls. Like he, if anything, he outkicked his coverage with the Bulls. Like the series he won against the Nets, like the Nets were supposed to win that series. And I think, not saying Tibbs coaching is what won them that series, but, certainly was the better coach and they advanced and then they ended up losing to, I believe, I forget if that was the year the Heat won the championship or they just made it to the finals, but like, you know, they gave the Heat hell for a bunch of games and they lost in six. Yeah, I have faith in Tibbs, but that's me. Todd Rolick, thoughts on Lillard's fit on this team if he gets moved? Yeah, I saw his comments. Yeah, we're talking about Jalen Brunson's defense being an issue, and now we want to pair him with Damian Lillard. I think, I think it's not the most ideal fit. That said, if they could go out and add a Damian Lillard to a team with Jalen Brunson and Julius Randle and try to count on, you know, whether it's Mitch, I imagine it would be Mitch, but like your defensive anchor and then really getting like, to me, that's the interesting conversation. Like if you made that trade, do you have enough left over in the bank to trade for like OG Anunoby? Because OG Anunoby, if you want to talk about a wing defender that can help make your life livable with those two dudes. Now, you want to talk about the issue of there being only one ball. OG Anunoby allegedly wants to have a bigger role in the offense. Well, guess what? If he's on a team with Dame Lillard, Jalen Brunson, and Julius Randle, he ain't having a big role in the offense. So, like, who's the wing defender that you get there? Because I don't think, you know, maybe it's Josh Hart. Like, but again, Josh Hart, we're talking about, he's a little under, you know, he's not as big as you'd like your, like, primo wing defender to be. I don't know. It's tough. It depends on the price. Depends on the price tag. And like, you know, Blazers aren't giving away for free. It wouldn't be my first look. I'll say that. It wouldn't be my first look if I'm trying to trade for a star.
For over 30 years, the law offices of Weiss and Rosenblum in New York City has been home to a team of award-winning, hard-hitting injury attorneys who have a long track record of seven-figure results. Whether you've been injured in a car accident, fall, construction accident, or other traumatic event, Weiss and Rosenblum will work tirelessly to maximize the award regardless of the severity of your injury and get you and your family the fair and just compensation you deserve. Call Weiss and Rosenblum today at 212-366-6100. Again, that's 212-366-6100 or visit weissandrosenblum.com for more information. No case is too big or too small. Personal attention to your matter is a priority. Once more, call 212-366-6100. Previous results do not guarantee future outcomes. If you think you might have a case, speak with a veteran attorney, not a rookie.
We're driven by the search for better. But when it comes to hiring, the best way to search for a candidate isn't to search at all. Don't search, match with Indeed. Indeed is your matching and hiring platform with over 350 million global monthly visitors, according to Indeed data, and a matching engine that helps you find quality candidates fast. Ditch the busy work. Use Indeed for scheduling, screening, and messaging so you can connect with candidates faster. Leveraging over 140 million qualifications and preferences every day, Indeed's matching engine is constantly learning from your preferences. So the more you use Indeed, the better it gets. Join more than 3.5 million businesses worldwide that use Indeed to hire great talent fast. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/BlueWire. Just go to Indeed.com/BlueWire right now and support our show by saying that you heard about Indeed on this podcast. That's Indeed.com/BlueWire. Terms and conditions apply. Need to hire? You need Indeed.
Your spring is about to get a lot more power with the Home Depot. Get gas-like power from mowing, trimming, and blowing with the Ryobi 18-volt OnePlus system starting at just $89. Mowing power that can take on a third of an acre with one charge. Trimming power with up to 2 hours of runtime. And blowing power with 110 miles per hour of clearing force. All on one interchangeable battery. Get cordless gas-like power for the entire lawn with the Ryobi 18-volt OnePlus system. Only at the Home Depot. How doers get more done.
What's up, Knicks fans? Power up for springtime with Factor, America's number one ready-to-eat meal kit. Get nutritious, chef-prepared meals delivered straight to your door, leaving you time and energy to tackle everything on your to-do list. Get Factor and not only skip the trip to the grocery store, but skip the chopping, prepping, and cleaning up too. Factor's fresh, never frozen meals are ready in just 2 minutes, so all you have to do is heat and enjoy. No matter what your lifestyle, Factor has the meals to help you live it to the fullest with keto, calorie smart, vegan, veggie, and protein. protein plus meals on the menu each week. Prepared by chefs and approved by dietitians, each meal has all the ingredients you need to feel satisfied all day long. With 34 chef-prepared, dietitian-approved weekly options, there's always something new to try. Plus, you can round out your meal and replenish your snack supply with an assortment of more than 36 quick bites, smoothies, juices, and more satisfying add-ons. Looking to cut back on takeout? Get Factor instead. Not only is Factor cheaper, but meals are ready quicker than restaurant delivery. Just 2 minutes. Also, eating vegan or veggie is a snap with Factor. Each meal has all the ingredients you want and nothing you don't. And if you're looking to mix it up, you can add a protein to your vegan or veggie meals each week. Get Factor and enjoy clean eating without the hassle. Simply choose and enjoy fresh, flavor-packed meals delivered to your door. Don't hesitate. Head to factormeals.com/filmschool50 and use the code filmschool50 to get 50% off your first box. Again, that's factormeals.com/filmschool50 to get 50% off your first box. Factor, America's number one ready-to-eat meal kit.
Red Sarachek, what's going on, Red? How are you? Finishing us off tonight. Hot take, I'm not worried. Players like Jalen Brunson, Quentin Grimes, and Josh Hart give us a vastly different playoff feel than what we had versus the Hawks. I completely agree. Mostly Josh Hart and Jalen Brunson, just because Grimes hasn't been there yet. My number one question is whether we could switch the script on subs and off strategy and the offensive strategy as the series goes on. I can't say I'm worried a ton about this team's offense right now. I got to tell you, I'm not. Their offensive rating after this game is... Hold on, we haven't... this is the last Super Chat, so maybe Andrew wants to come up for this one.
Sure.
I didn't yell at anybody.
Get proud of you.
Thanks, man. Growth,
yes. Shout out Kelly from Insecure.
They're 116.5 offensive rating, which had it been done in any other year, would be the greatest offense in history of basketball.
Yeah, there's a lot of that this year.
Yeah, it's fifth this year, but it's fifth. It's fifth behind Giannis Antetokounmpo, Boston's the. Excuse me. Here, this is really the best. I think the best. It's not fifth behind the Bucks. It's fifth behind the Kings, the Nuggets, the Sixers, and the Celtics. Three of those teams have guys who will finish in the top four of the MVP voting. And the Kings are, I mean, just a juggernaut. So like, I can't say I worry about them shifting up the offense. I thought they did a great job shifting up the offense tonight against the zone. Thought they passed it quickly. Thought they passed it wisely. Yeah.
I have no questions about their offense. I got to be honest. Quickly missed some shots that he normally makes. Like
Quickly Randall, was 1-8 and they scored 120.
Right. Like Randall missed some.
Oh, and
like,
Randall was terrible.
Yeah. Like there was some shot selection in the third quarter that I had some issues with, but that's not like the offensive system. I'm not picking nits. If it was three possessions, fine. I just knew there was a portion of the third quarter where I was like, so we're going one-on-one with Jimmy Butler. We're going one-on-one with Bam Adebayo.
I'll tell you the three possessions. It was a fadeaway over Randall fadeaway over Bam Adebayo on the baseline. It was a pull-up three by Brunson over
Over Bam. It was either Bam or Butler, but that was the point. Two. It was one of those two.
And then it was a Randall mid-range kind of step back that I was the least egregious of the three, but it was still like, we don't really need that shot there. It was those three. And then quickly had one possession in the fourth. That was after the second unit offense had been brilliant for like five possessions in a row. That was like the one shot that like wasn't great.
Yeah.
Everything else, their offense was really good.
Yeah. And just to double down on your point, I think I've done 40, maybe 35 pregame pods. One has told me that they're happy with their head coach. Yeah. This is a thing. Every fan base hates their coach. It's honestly part of a reason why I thought the pregame pod would be great, was to get perspective. We had
The Giancarlo's first time on here, he was like, there's a portion of the fan base that has Fire Spo as a hashtag. Eric Spoelstra, who should have a lifetime contract, you know?
And like, again, just like full disclosure, I think it works for two reasons. The attitude that I take. One, and again, Andrew used to yell at me when he's like, you shouldn't tell people to go listen to other pods. But like, there is, you want to talk about like counter programming. Like, there's a ton of people out there who get on various channels after Knick games and yell and scream about the coach.
Mm-hmm. And we should not tell them to go someplace else, John.
But, no, don't go someplace else.
No, but, listen to us and our measured reaction. But
that's my point
game.
Is like, that's out there, number one. And two, frankly, like, I don't want, that's, spoiler alert, that's not who I want to be. That's not what is naturally comes to me. And that's not my default. I am going to generally default towards trying to, again, see things. I think it's measured, but others might disagree.
We're not doing a full psychoanalysis of this tonight. I think in the first 5-10 minutes of after a basketball game that you just watch, especially against the rival, you're going to react your most passionately one way or the other. Whether it's a win, you're going to go through the roof with optimism. If it's a loss, the sky is falling and our pets' heads are falling off. Like,
our pets' heads?
That's from Dumb and Dumber.
Oh, the
Harry gives the blind kid the parakeet that has no head, and the earlier he says something about our pets' heads are falling off. Yes,
I forgot that.
So that's what that quote is. The point is, what have I always told you? Fan is short for fanatic, and I do think, you know, just remember when people come at the coach, I was one that brought up the criticism of Tibbs tonight. I thought there was a two or three quibbles, but I also started with, they didn't lose this game. This wasn't a coaching loss.
Yeah, but your two things were the correct two things to bring up.
Yeah. I also agree with Alex, by the way. I'm concerned about Jalen Brunson. This is like four straight games, and it's a four straight game since he's been back, or three straight games since he's been back, that it's like, oh, you're kind of a traffic cone right now.
Yeah.
Like, and the value he adds has always been effort this season. Like, you know what? He tries, is what we've always said. And then he gets those Brunson-hemmed offensive fouls. When he's not getting that call.
He did get one tonight, by the way.
He did get one, but like, there were several other possessions where they're flat out hunting him. That's what Benji's thread was on today. Our film session was on today. And that's what I'm worried about, is that as we get closer to the playoffs, they're going to start hunting him. And is he and his 6-foot frame up for it?
Yeah, and the reality of it maybe, and it would be a drastic shift, but like, there is a world where he's the guy that's running the second units instead of RJ. You know, which is like, that's always interested me. Mm-hmm. Because again, and it's not the biggest of sample sizes, but the numbers with him and Quickly and like Obi are, I don't know if we have time to, it would take probably a minute for me to pull them up. You want to filibuster for a sec?
Sure. I actually, one thing I am low-key a little worried about, I think someone did bring up a Quickly concern. Read you his shooting splits since the Boston game? I'm just going to present the numbers and say that they exist. So since the Boston game, he is shooting 36% from the field.
Okay.
28.6% from three. Still making his free throws, and is a negative 3.1.
Well, the negative 3.1 is, that's just so out of character for him, because he's been such a positive.
Yep. And then I think he's in a shooting slump since the Boston game.
He's had some atrocious shooting games,
which then even it out. So it's not eight bad games. I'm literally just pointing out since the Boston game, he's had eight games and his shooting splits across the board. We're also talking about him after a 1-for-8 game. I actually thought that fourth quarter spurt that the bench went on to get the lead, Quickly had a lot to do with that, especially on defense. And had he been shooting well, the Knicks would have been 140-127. Would have been the final, or at least the Knicks would have won, because they would have been able to match Miami bucket for bucket. But point being, it's just a note that Emmanuel Quickly is in a bit of a shooting slump overall since the Boston game.
Yeah, this is the one. It's in 350 minutes. So not insignificant sample size.
Mm-hmm.
Hardenstein, Brunson, and Quickly plus 17.6 per 100, 123.3 offense, 105.7 defense. That's a little deceiving, though, because Quickly and Hardenstein have closed a bunch of games. So you got Randall and Hart in those minutes. That's where a lot of that's coming from. The one that I was looking for, and it's not as good as I remembered, but it's still pretty good. In 205 minutes, Brunson, Toppin, and Quickly. So 205 minutes, not nothing, plus 13.9. 115.6 offense, which is very good, but below their usual offensive number. 101.7 defense. And I think that defensive number is important because I'm not saying like Jalen Brunson and Obi Toppin turn into, I'm trying to think, you know, Gary Payton and who's a really good defensive, you know, Dennis Rodman defensively, but those units are playing against second units. You know, those Brunson Quickly Toppin units, and like it helps mitigate Brunson being taken advantage of. So the notion of switching it up and maybe getting Brunson now, is that really going to help that much? I don't know. It's tough. It's tough because if you're going to want to win games in the playoffs, you're going to have Jalen Brunson out there during big minutes. So it's like he has to play better.
It's so much less about like an alternative option to Jalen Brunson. It's, are you worried about our primary option and the way he's looked since coming back from injury?
But at the same time, when it comes down to the playoffs and it's about like, you know, every 5 minute stretch of the game matters. Is there a material improvement that you could make? Like, what is the trade-off? Because again, I'm not going to sit here like a lot of people do and be like, well, look at this net rating. You should obviously do this thing. Well, there's a trade-off, and the trade-off is that you're not going to have Jalen Brunson out there on offense, you know, against an opposing team starters who are theoretically their best defenders. And thus are you upholding your offensive number? So it's like, there's a give and take. I don't know.
Two things real quick. We had three more super chats that came in. And Red Sarachek, first of all, he's another super chat, so read that.
With that said, I hope the guys have Mr. Reed in their heart, as we should all, when they take the floor this postseason. I think the Garden will have an extra special aura to it come the postseason that Captain would have loved to see. Well said.
Well said. He also says in the chat, the regular chat, GMAC, sorry, I should have clarified. I meant Tibbs adjusting to playing a team 4 to 7 games in a row, seeing different defenses. That's what he means by offensive strategy over a 7-game
series. Oh. Yeah, I mean, again, I thought their defense against the Hawks was really good.
Different league
2 years ago.
Yeah. Like I do wonder the advanced offense. This is the steroid era that we're in right now. This is a juiced ball season offensively,
but like for the NBA. The Knicks to me, they're the simplest defense in the league to figure out. Like, you know exactly what they're going to do. Like, they're going to pack the paint. They're going to fall back. It's a matter of, the team you're playing, are they going to, one, make the requisite passes, which teams don't always do, and we'll see, but the good teams do. So you figure they're going to make the right passes. And then and that's why I loved Benji's thread today. It was his clip where nail help is how Benji puts it, where a guy is guarding a shooter on like kind of like the top of the foul line extended, or maybe a little bit more to the top of the arc. And that person is supposed to kind of shade over to wall off the drive if there's a high pick and roll on the other side of the court. Like, that's the scheme. But the difference between executing that scheme properly and executing that scheme such that it's going to give up an open three is literally one additional step. Maybe a step and a half. That's the difference.
Mm-hmm.
That's the difference. So that's not a scheme thing. That's just, are you executing, and are you crossing your T's and you're dotting your I's? The other stuff, like again, shout out to Benji because he always talks about this, like giving up threes to opposing centers. Like, they're, spoiler alert, they're going to do that.
Yeah.
And if Al Horford.
There's no center. You just said it. It's Horford. That's the only.
And bro, I fear Brooke. I think Brooke can make threes.
Oh, we get to that point, anything is gravy. We get to the conference finals and
but again, that's like the nice thing about playing the Cavs is that is one thing you do not have to worry about with Cleveland at all. You do not have to worry about their five spacing the four. So the Knicks, that's what the nice thing is the Knicks can not only hide Brunson defensively, A, but B, they could just play their scheme and they don't have to worry about any, you know, widget getting thrown into the machine and screwing it up. It's just about doing what you got
to
do.
You may also not have to worry about their, I guess LeVert would be their closing three. I was going to say their three spacing the floor, but I digress. Two more.
Again, if LeVert's taking shots in a big spot, please.
You live with it.
Emil Bamansor, the Knicks are the hunted now. They need to match the energy of teams coming into trying to beat us. Let me finish reading the comment. Give credit to the Heat as well. They made shots. Do you think? Should give some credit to the Miami Heat who played as perfect of a ball game as you could probably play? Like, man.
I thought we were headed for Torian Prince, Gabe Vincent. Like Gabe Vincent having a Torian Prince night when he had 13 points in the first quarter and 16 at halftime.
Like the Heat just like did, like, and again, the Heat are dealing, you know what the limitations are dealing with? They're dealing with Gabe Vincent's defense. They're dealing with Max Strus's defense. And guess what? The Knicks did a good job of exploiting those things tonight.
Mm-hmm.
But otherwise, you know, the Heat played a pretty perfect game. As far as trying to match the energy of teams coming in to try to beat us, that's the reason I knew they were, I shouldn't say knew. I thought they were going to lose this game. I thought the Heat were going to come out and they were going to be like, not tonight, not in our building. And they did.
Last one.
Okay. Kevin Danishevsky with one more finishes us out. Fire Tibbs Butler's awful Cam a Hall of Famer. Yell, John. Nah, I'm too old to yell.
How about no? And the show's over. There we go. Sorry, Kevin. He didn't yell. Chaos avoided.
This is not a game worth yelling about. I don't think, at least. But anyway.
I'll yell at you off the air.
What?
I'll yell at you off the air. Shout out Johnny Bryant, my head coach. Okay.
Hashtag my head coach.
Hashtag my head coach.
Okay. Thank you for tuning in tonight. Remember to like the video.
I'm such an asshole. I'm so sorry. You were like, you did not deserve any of this. You were also right, by the way. Two nights ago, you told me I should be afraid of the Miami Heat. And I was like, fuck the Miami Heat. And then the next day, I started doing research for a Heat pregame pod. I was like, oh, they're actually been really good in their last 12 games. Oh, they're actually really good at home. Oh, I should probably be afraid of what Jimmy Butler's doing this season.
Here, you know what? I'm going to parlay this into shitting on the Hawks.
Mm-hmm.
I've watched the two teams I've watched the most. Actually, three teams I've watched the most of are the Nets, the Heat, and the Hawks over the last, I don't know, month or so. And the Nets are a team that plays their butts off and they do some really good things and they go through stretches where they do look like a really good team. And then you remember that they are a flawed team, like, and they don't have a real, like, Spencer Dinwiddie is their point guard, you know? And there are stretches where they're just not going to look great on both ends, but they're a team that tries really hard. The Heat and the Hawks are more polar opposites for me. One of those teams has had a rough year for reasons, but you watch the Heat, they are not a broken team. The Hawks, broken team.
Hawks need an offseason. Like, that's my rational...
They
need religion too. I'm just saying they need an offseason. Like, it's why the whole thing with Brooklyn when we were afraid of them. It's like, no, they probably need an offseason to learn all of these new faces and learn, maybe build some chemistry. That's one thing the Knicks have in their favor. The only like new face they've added is Josh Hart faces.
Hold on.
Josh Hart, Jalen Brunson, and Isaiah Hartenstein.
What, the Hawks need offseason to build chemistry.
Well, new voice.
What, I'm for saying. Sadiq Bey?
No, well, they're their coach. Like, you got to learn a new system. You got to learn a new everything, you know?
Look,
maybe it's not fixable. Maybe it starts at the top and
I think there's bigger
rots in the walls. But
my point is, watching the Hawks, my two cents watching them, it's like, oh, that team's broken. Talented is all hell, but broken. The Heat, I've never once gotten that sense, which is why I have not gotten off this hill on the Miami's not dead yet.
They start winning road games, then I'll join you on that hill. I need to see them not lose to the Bulls after a back-to-back and not need four full quarters to beat the Pistons.
I mean, Whatever. We don't have to talk to everybody. If you're the Sixers, you really. Is that the team you want to see? If you're the.
Gotta be honest.
The Celtics?
The take earlier that maybe we want to play the Celtics. I don't completely disagree with it.
It's not nuts.
That team is ripe for a first round upset. A head coach that's clearly a step down from last season. They've gotten worse every month by net rating, by record all season. This Jaylen Brown situation that's looming over all of this. And not for nothing, the Knicks beat them 3 out of 4 times this year.
I know, but they're very talented team.
Their ceiling is probably the highest of any contender, and not including Golden State, but that's a whole nother thing. You know, their ceiling is probably the highest of any contender. This is what Dan Favalli said. Highest of any contender. It's also the lowest of any contender. They can win the title or they can lose in the first round.
I disagree with that. I think the highest ceiling is the Suns. And I would actually probably put the Bucks as a higher ceiling than the Celtics, but the Celtics are in the conversation.
But so the Suns are like, they're at least, you understand why their ceiling is different. Like, I'm talking about as currently constructed, we know what the Celtics are, you know? Sure. Like, the Suns, maybe they'll get Kevin Durant back. And then, their ceiling is super high. But that's my point. Like, the Celtics, as is, can either win the title or lose in the first round. If the Suns get Kevin Durant back, they could either win the title or lose the title probably to the Bucks in 6 games. Or losing the conference finals. The point is, with Durant, they're not losing. With Durant, I trust them a little more.
We're really getting off the rails before we were supposed to finish up. But like, the Suns could face the Warriors in the first round. The Suns could face the Clippers still in the first round. The Paul George thing obviously complicates that. But like,
who has home court in that Warrior series?
You want to tell me the Warriors? We'll see what happens.
Now we're off the rails. We'll save it for Patreon. One more, by the way.
Red Sarachak with another one. What is Musseton?
Made up stat of the night.
Oh, that's right. This for some reason it's not permeating. Slumping before the playoffs is 99.98% preferred over slumping during the playoffs. That stat was brought to you by Hint. It rhymes with Schmeiss and Schmosen Bloom.
Schmeiss and Schmosen Bloom.
All right, now we're done. We'll see you tomorrow for post game. We got a pregame pod dropping.
Yep. Recorded it before the Heat game tonight.
Awesome. Great stuff. Looking forward to listening to that. We'll see everybody. Take care. Peace out.